Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 11th day of January 2020. Glad to have you with us in fellowship. Also, welcome to those that are on the phone or those listening to the recording, those joining us on WLMR Radio. I'm glad to have you with us today. Got a very important service. But we have one announcement dealing with the women's meeting. And dear Sister Michelle, please go ahead.
Thank you. Just letting all the women know, our plans for this weekend, Monday, have been changed. So we will be having the women's meeting this coming Monday. The 13th. So hope that you all can attend. We're still doing the book Child Guidance, which is a very excellent book for those that have children. So hope that you can attend, and it is this coming Monday, not the following Monday as planned. So the Lord changed our plans. So thank you and God bless.
Well, thank you, dear sister. Our opening song for today's service is titled Jesus Hail, Whose Glory Brightens. And those who know this wonderful hymn, please take a verse. Hail 10,000 harps and voices, sound the note of praise above. Jesus reigns and heaven rejoices. Jesus reigns, the God of love. See, he sits on yonder throne. Jesus rules the world alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Sing how Jesus came from heaven, how he bore the cross below, how all power to him is given, how he reigns in glory now. 'Tis a great and endless theme. Oh, 'tis sweet to sing of him. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Jesus hail, whose glory brightens all above and gives it words. Lord of life, thy smile enlightens, cheers and charms thy saints on earth. When we think of love like thine, Lord, we want it, love divine. Hallelujah, 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 amen. King of glory, reign forever, thine an everlasting crown. Nothing from thy love shall sever those whom thou shalt call thine own. Happy objects of thy grace, destined to behold thy face. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Save your haste and thy appearing, bring, O bring, thy glorious day. When the awful summons hearing, heaven and earth shall pass away. Then with golden harps we'll sing, glory, glory to our King. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, dear ones, it's time for opening prayer, and may we bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for thy great and infinite love to each one. Thank you for making possible the plan of our salvation and sending Jesus down to complete his part in it. And make it possible for us to be delivered from sin and from death. Dear Savior, thank you so very much for being willing to unite your divinity with humanity and thus allow us fallen human beings to be connected with divine power to overcome. I pray that the presence of our Father, of our Savior, and also of the Holy Spirit will be abiding guests with each listening heart. And please, Spirit, perform your office work in our lives by enlightening us, opening our understanding to the truth, leading and guiding us away from error to understand and comprehend thy word. I pray that all custom and tradition, all preconceived ideas and opinions, our own thoughts and beliefs will be set aside, that will not be hindrances to keeping anyone from understanding the truth, from seeing that straight, narrow path. And then please, Spirit, give us the courage, the comfort, as well as the strength and determination to follow the truth, to walk that upward and narrow path that leads to eternal life, and not cling to our errors, our false doctrines, no matter how long we may have believed them. Not clinging to church creeds, to commandments of men, no matter how many hundreds or thousands of years they may have been believed and practiced and part of the dogma of the church. Let thy word alone be our guide and our doctrine. And thank you so much, Spirit, for making this all possible. Thank you, Savior, for making our salvation possible. And thank you, Father, for accepting us in the Beloved and adopting us into thy family. Please be with all of those who have asked for prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions, especially for healing or divine protection. And thank you so much, Father, for being close at hand and not far off, for being there to help us in any time of need when we asked in Jesus' name for it. So we thank you, dear Godhead, for being in our midst. And please bless us with an outpouring of light, enlightenment, and love. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. Glad to be in fellowship with you. And the title of our sermon for today is Behold Your God. See Him in His Human Nature. And for the next several Sabbaths, we'll be examining issues regarding the Lord God Jesus Christ, who was the great I Am. And these issues have generated a lot of heated discussion over the years. In fact, over the past 1,000 years, and especially over the past 60 years. And in fact, these issues are even current among God's remnant people today, being discussed and positions taken. And these particular issues that we'll be investigating into are vitally important because they involve the salvation of humanity and eternal life. They involve our salvation. And even though these issues have been and are continuing to be discussed, many people have not yet taken a firm and unwavering position on either side. And there's others that believe bits and pieces from both sides of these issues. And several, having heard these issues being discussed so often, have become somewhat numb to them and have refused to study for themselves in order to know where the correct position is. They're just tired of hearing about it. While others have chosen to ignore these important issues altogether, and still others have chosen to take the side of their favorite minister, or their favorite elder or teacher, or even their spouse or relative or close friend, as an easy way out of this issue. But are these a safe course to pursue? To base our decision on truth upon the testimony of some other person? And the answer is absolutely not. If we base our decision on what is truth by trusting to the guidance of another human being, whether they are teachers, whether they are leaders of churches, whether they are a minister or spouse or friend, then we will never find Jesus. We'll be like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, as we're told in Ephesians 4:14. Do you want to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine? That will happen if you rely upon the testimony of another person as to what is truth. And there's no possible way that you can gain salvation by having another person that you look to other than Jesus. We can't have any other individual standing in between Christ and ourselves because they will shut Christ out. So these life or death salvational issues that we'll be examining, you cannot base your decisions merely upon your own thinking without any greater authority than your own mind to decide. Many have seen the results of following one's own mind in regards to what is truth. And the results have been very plain, seen in the fanaticism and erroneous doctrines, which are growing more rampant as each day passes into eternity. So we can't trust what is truth to someone else telling us, and we can't trust what is truth to our own minds. In order to safely discover what is truth, we must use a greater authority than other people and even our own mind. And the greatest authority available to us is God's inspired word. God has given us his word as the final and absolute authority as to what is truth in any doctrinal and theological issue. And praise his holy name for doing so. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID2033.htm. So lightministries.com/ID2033.htm. And if you look at quote number one from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 to 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and what will this inspiration of God, what will this scripture do for us? It will reprove us if we are believing something wrong. It will correct our erroneous understanding of what is truth. It will instruct us in the pathways that lead to salvation through righteousness so that we may become perfect in understanding and in action. So then God's inspired word is the deciding factor on whether any doctrinal issue is truth or error. And we must do this study for ourselves. We cannot allow anyone else to study for us. We cannot implicitly trust to the guidance of any other person as to what is truth without risking our salvation. And so we must search God's word for ourselves so that we will know what is truth. We're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God has given to all his people a very simple test, which they can safely apply to any doctrine to see if it is truth or not. And that is his word of inspiration. If you look at quote number two, in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And then in Revelation 19:10, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So these inspired passages reveal that it is by the law, or the word of God, and by the testimony of Jesus, or the spirit of prophecy, that we are to test every doctrine coming to us to determine if it's truth or not. So if either the Bible or the spirit of prophecy would disagree with that particular doctrine, then it's because there's no light of truth in that doctrine. And if we would only follow this simple God-given test and be willing to do God's will, then we will never be led astray into any doctrinal error. if we just compare everything to the law and to the testimony, we would be able to escape all erroneous doctrines and follow only the truth. So then in our examination of these salvational and life-dependent issues that we'll be going through, we'll be able to discover exactly what is the true understanding by testing them all to the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy. And the very first doctrinal issue that we're going to examine is the issue of Christ's nature. You know, almost all are willing to admit that Jesus Christ was divine in nature. But the problem comes in the understanding of his human nature. And the main point of contention is whether Christ took upon himself man's fallen or unfallen nature when he was alive on this earth. The vast majority of all churches and theologians in the world today, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, teach that Christ took upon himself the unfallen nature of mankind. And this unfallen nature is the very same nature that heavenly angels and other unfallen beings possess. Now, others believe that Christ did in fact take upon himself the fallen nature of man. And still others believe that Christ took a combination of both the fallen and the unfallen human nature. So then how can we find out which of these positions is the truth and which are not the truth? It's by going to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and seeing which of these positions God declares to be the truth. So then exactly what does God himself declare is the truth in this issue about Christ's human nature? Did Christ take the fallen or the unfallen nature of man? Or did he take a combination of both the fallen and unfallen nature? Let's see what God's inspired word states. If you look at quote number 3. In Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now we're told in Galatians 3:16 that Christ was this seed of the woman who was to bruise Satan's head. And this meant that Christ would be superior over and conquer the devil. But the verse also mentioned that Satan was to bruise Christ's heel, meaning that Satan would cause Christ severe trials and internal pain, which ultimately led to the crucifixion. But the devil would not be superior to Christ and would not conquer over him. So the seed would be victorious. Now, Genesis 3:15 was the message of salvation that was given to Adam and Eve only after sin had come into the world. So this meant that this verse was prophesying that Christ was to be born of a woman after the fall, not before the fall. So this meant that Christ could not take upon himself the unfallen nature of man, or the unfallen nature of angels and other sinless beings, or even a combination of both, because it was prophesied that he was to be born after the fall had occurred, and thus he could only take upon himself the fallen nature of man. We're told in Hebrews 2:16, for verily he, or Christ, took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. in Acts 13 verses 22 to 3. He, or God, raised up upon them, referring to Israel, David to be their king. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And then in 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ is of the seed of David. Now, these scriptural passages here reveal that not only was Christ born a human from the seed or lineage of Abraham, but he was also born from the seed or lineage of David, as well as being born of a virgin woman named Mary. And what kind of nature did Abraham, David, and Mary possess in which they could only pass on to all of their offspring or their lineage? The scriptures plainly declare to us that it could not have been the unfallen nature like angels possess, but could have only been a fallen human nature. So then the only human nature which Christ could be born with was the fallen human nature which he inherited from Abraham, David, and Mary. But we've learned that the Bible is just half the test to determine what is truth in any doctrinal issue. So in this particular issue, it's only half the test. The other half would be the testimony of Jesus or the spirit of prophecy. So then what does the spirit of prophecy declare about this issue of Christ's human nature? If you look at quote number 4, from Testimonies, volume 8, page 207. He, or Christ, took on himself not the nature of angels, but the nature of man. In Selected Messages, Book 1, page 256, Christ taking man's nature in its fallen condition. In Review and Herald, September 29, 1896, Christ, the spotless Son of God, honored humanity by taking upon himself fallen human nature. And in Bible Commentary, Volume 5, page 1150, the divine Son of God, who had with unprecedented self-denial and love for the creatures formed in his image, came from heaven and assumed their fallen nature. So these inspired passages reveal to us that when Christ came to this earth, he took upon himself our fallen human nature, not the unfallen human nature. And he took the fallen human nature out of love for you and me. But was it an honor for Christ to take upon himself our fallen nature? It was not an honor at all. If you look at quote number 5 from Desire of Ages, page 112. Notwithstanding that the sins of a guilty world were laid upon Christ, notwithstanding the humiliation of taking upon himself our fallen nature, the voice from heaven declared him to be the Son of the Eternal. So it was humiliating for Christ to take our fallen human nature. It was humiliating for Christ to take the form of man, to become human in the first place. He's a God in the heavens above, and yet he consented to be born a human being. That's humiliation. I mean, if you were able to create worms, would you decide to become a worm yourself? You're the creator. That's basically what Jesus voluntarily agreed to do. the creator of mankind became one of his creation. But it was unprecedented self-denial and humiliation for Christ when he took human nature to take the fallen nature of sinful man. And yet some will argue that the words fallen nature really only refer to the physical form of man after sin and does not refer to the real inward nature of man, which fell after sin. So some interpret the word fallen nature to just be the outward form, but not the inward form. But what does God state about this belief in his words of inspiration? If you look at quote number 6, from Spirit of Prophecy, volume 2, page 39. It was in the order of God that Christ should take upon himself the form, that would be the physical form, and nature of fallen man. So Christ did not take just upon himself the outward physical form of fallen man, but he also took the inward nature of man after the fall. So this meant that Christ indeed became one with you and I in the same fallen nature that we possess. And what a marvel it is to even contemplate such a thought. The Holy God consented to take upon himself the fallen nature of mankind. What a thought. It's a mystery, dear ones. But it took place. Now, others will argue that the fallen human nature which Christ took upon himself was somehow shielded from being contaminated or defiled with man's sinful nature. That it somehow was supernaturally protected from being transferred from Mary to Christ's human nature. So then, did Christ really unify our sinful human nature with his sinless divine nature? You look at quote number 7. In Review and Herald, December 15, 1896, he, or Christ, took upon him our sinful nature, not sinless. In Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1147, he took upon himself fallen, suffering human nature, degraded and defiled by sin. In Review and Herald, July 17, 1900, Christ did in reality unite the offending nature of man with his own sinless nature. And then in Selected Messages, Book 3, page 134, though he had no taint of sin upon his character, yet he condescended to connect our fallen human nature with his divinity. By thus taking humanity, he honored humanity. Having taken our fallen nature, he showed what it might become. So these inspired words reveal to us that Christ took upon himself our fallen nature, degraded and defiled by sin. So when he took our fallen human nature, it was not shielded in any way from the sinfulness of that nature. And in doing this, in taking our fallen nature upon himself, degraded and defiled by sin, he has honored humanity by uniting it with divinity. So the fallen, sinful human nature which Christ took upon himself was just like the fallen, sinful human nature that you and I possess. We're told in Signs of the Times, December 9, 1897, the human nature of Christ was like unto ours. In Selected Messages, Book 3, page 129. His human nature was created. It did not even possess the angelic powers. It was human, identical with our own. In the 1895 General Conference Bulletin, page 338. Jesus assumed humanity, making all feel that his identification with their nature and interest is complete. In other words, nothing lacking. In Testimonies, Volume 5, page 346, the majesty of heaven held not himself aloof from degraded, sinful humanity. And in Review and Herald, July 21, 1891, he humbled himself that he might meet fallen men where they were. Not where Adam was before the fall, but where humanity was 4,000 years after the fall. So this means that the human nature which Christ voluntarily took upon himself was completely like unto ours, brothers and sisters. It was identical to us. Jesus did not hold himself aloof from our fallen, sinful, and offending nature, but he came and took it all upon his sinless nature so that he could become one with us. But what an infinite humiliation it was for Christ to do such an amazing thing, to become one with fallen mankind. But this raises the question, why? Why would the Son of God come down to this dark world? Why would he take upon himself the fallen, sinful, degrading, offending, and fallen nature of man? Why would he do that? And this is what we'll discover in our next sermon. There's a divine purpose and an infinite reason in this. And it was necessary that Christ take upon himself our sinful, fallen, defiled, degraded nature in order to accomplish something. And this is what we'll find out next time. So we hope to see you, dear ones, in our next sermon. It's amazing. As you seek to understand the truth in this issue of salvation, it is simply amazing. Our closing song is Jesus Paid It All. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Lord, now when did I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to end my own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I wash my garments white in the blood of Calvin's lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed white as snow.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed
it
as now. Thank you, Sister Nicole, for singing with me. That's lovely.
Thank you, Yee-Yee.
Amen. Jesus paid it all, dear ones, to the nth degree, left nothing to chance. And what a wonderful Savior. Well, shall we bow our heads and our knees? Heavenly Father, again we thank you for developing the plan of our salvation and sending Jesus down to accomplish it. And we thank you, Savior, for indeed accomplishing the plan of our salvation and making it possible for us to be set free and delivered from sin, from death, and from continuing in sin. And please, Spirit, continue to open our understanding to behold wondrous things, wondrous truths from the word of inspiration. Help us to understand this particular issue more fully. Enlighten our minds. Remove custom and tradition from us, that the truth may unhindered reign in our hearts. And we can see the uplifted Savior more fully and fall in love with him. Thank you for thy merciful kindness and tender love, dear Godhead. And thank you for the distinct privilege of being able to gather together and to dig into important truths, or just to share in fellowship one with another in praising our God and the Lamb from whom all blessings flow. Please continue to be with us. And thank you for thy love. We love you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So amen, dear ones. We hope to see you next Sabbath as another very important sermon dealing in these issues, salvational issues. So God bless, dear Sister Lynn. Looking forward to having you in fellowship with us again soon. And please give our love to your precious mom. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, songs, testimonies, requests? Anything else, dear ones, that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
I have a testimony to share and a praise as well. On the 7th of January, I decided to take something out of my computer. I had two printers, a printer that I had prior where I was at the time working in Ohio, and then I also have a printer from here, and the two of them was HP, and it kept giving me this error that I needed to update, but it's like you can't update anything without the printer present. So I decided to, don't know why I decided to take it off. I took off the printer, and let me tell you what happened. My Microsoft became corrupt. I couldn't open no PowerPoint. I couldn't do no worksheet. I couldn't do anything. Now, the thing about it is that I have a couple of days to build the PowerPoint for the children. I just began to be able to build it because on the 6th, I had a dentist appointment. So I was looking forward for the 7th to sit down and start doing it. So I just did only one part of it, and everything else was not done. So when I looked and see the error that it was claiming that I had a problem with, I put it on the internet to find out if there were anyone else that had that same problem. It was so many people that was having the same problem, and the process to fix it was really complicated. Everybody had a different ways of how to fix it, but not everyone had the same type of computer. So I was in a bind, and I was saying to myself, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen because I only have a couple of days to deadline. Every time when I send the children PowerPoint, I send it on Thursday. So this thing happened on Tuesday. I only have one day, which is Wednesday, to be able to kind of put everything together so I could have it prepared, and just hoping that everything would turn. So I started to say, oh, my Lord, how am I going to do this? And then Josh's computer just kept looking at me, come. And I said, nope, I don't like Apple. I don't even know what to do with it. So then I said, Lord, this is going to take me such a long time. So then I called Sister Cece, and I was explaining to Sister Cece what happened. By God's grace, through the instrumentality, she had someone in her job that actually took over my computer. And when he took over my computer, he was trying to be able to kind of fix it. Now, every disappointment is a blessing. The 2010 was removed. Now I have 2013 software to be able to do. So everything is kind of fast. The problem is that I don't know how to be able to handle 2013 because I was so used to 2010. Now, the thing that is amazing is that in one day, the Lord allowed me to be able to learn 2013 just for me to be able to do the PowerPoint. But meanwhile, our dear Sister Cece was here trying to be able to help it because he took over the computer and he was trying to change. At the time, he was going to give me 2016. But my computer was so slow, it wasn't allowing the program to be able to upload. So he actually told our dear sister that he would send the information with her, and she was able to come. And meanwhile, she was doing, every time we were trying to do something, that error message just kept coming back. And I was saying to myself, I don't know, but I feel that if we don't find that file to get rid of it, that's not going to really work. So I sent a link to my dear sister, and I said, listen, this man have it a little bit not so complicated, but when I get to a certain point, it says something about app data, and I couldn't find that in my computer. And then I was saying, I don't know really what to do. I became a little bit like, Lord, I'm getting old. I can't really see that much, Father Jesus.
I think retirement is coming through. I was trying my best to be able to say, Lord, give it to somebody younger than me. I'm already 52. So it's like I don't have it to be able to kind of find this file. So dear Sister Cece took over the computer and she says, Sister Rose, I'm not leaving here until we take care of this one. So meanwhile she was doing that part, the Lord moved me. Go and get Joshy's computer. Take the project, upload it into your email, put it back into Joshy's computer. But then I say, but Lord, I can't even function Joshy's computer. If I start, it's gonna take me, I'm not gonna be able to do the project. I'm not gonna be able to do this. So I kept calling Joshy. Joshy, can you come, please, copy and paste, copy and paste. I was calling him so much that I felt so bad for him. So I said, you know something, Joshy, it's okay. So I said, Lord, how I can do copy and paste? Never knowing that in the Apple computer, the actual pad is a mouse. And there is a certain way to maneuver that. But you know, they always say, the Lord, take care of those that I can. So then I was saying to myself, okay, how am I going to learn these things in such a short time? So I heard the Lord is Rose, go to the home, and the same function that you see here is manual. So when I went and I said, oh, wow, you can copy and paste from here. And then when I started to do it, the work started to be able to advance really quickly. So Sister Cece was saying, Rose, we were trying to do it this way, but the Lord told me, don't go this way. You got to go that way. So then she did it. I saw Sister Cece trying to run through the house. Meanwhile, she's trying to celebrate, but then she said, don't, let's not get so excited. You know what was so amazing? Her whole entire family was downstairs. Oh, and we can hear Emma crying for her mother. And my heart was spilling out. She says, Rose, she's going to be okay. We are going to have to do this thing. The Lord make it happen. I have the 2013. I was able to, the Lord helped me to learn the 2013 in one day that I was able to do the PowerPoint, but some little glitches here and here. So if you see certain things that is not there, please forgive me. I'm going to go back and try to put everything properly because I was not acquainted with the new program. But first I want to say thank you, Lord, for blessing us with, even though we have no knowledge what to do, how he can educate us in just a moment for the purpose of his glory. So I just want to thank not only for my dear sister to be able to allow one of her co-workers to be able to become an instrument, but the software is very expensive, and the Lord allow us to be able to have the software without spending a dime. So I just want to thank God for that. And this was my testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, dear sister. It's a wonderful testimony. And I'm more and more becoming convinced that God allowed computers to be made and become so prevalent to teach us patience. Because they can be a frustration a lot of times. And we know that patience is one of the most important virtues of the Christian in the last days. In patience possess ye your souls. So praise God, dear sister, that you were able to so quickly learn a new program and be able to get the children's lesson completed and sent out. And again, praise God, and thank you, dear sister, for your time and efforts and sacrifice in keeping the children's program moving forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Amen. Are there any other testimonies or thoughts, questions, comments, songs? Please go right ahead.
And I have a little update of the individual that I'm trying to be able to help with the pancreatic cancer. The tumor went from 6 to 2 now. So just keep praying, please. The only thing is that the white blood cells is still very high. So please keep her in your prayer. Her name is Donette. But her change of diet is also blessing the entire family. The husband that had difficulties with high blood pressure, with what she has been partaking, he lost a lot of weight, and he no longer have to take the medication of the high blood pressure as before, and he doesn't have the back pain anymore. So please keep them in the family last name is Lois, L-E-I. I think it's L-E-I. I'll give you the name in a little bit. But thank you so much for the prayers.
Amen. Amen. We'll keep him in prayer, dear sister, and praise God for blessing the simple remedies. And that is fantastic results, especially with the cancer going from 6 to 2. And the white blood cells is the body's attempt to fight it off, to take care of it. So even though they're elevated, that's still a good thing in fighting it off. So praise God. Amen. That's an excellent comment. Great is thy faithfulness. And that is also an excellent hymn. Let me bring it here in the room. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pardon for sin and peace, thy endurance, thy omnipresent to share unto God. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faith. faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that have needed thy hands has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth comes, no balm for my healing. There I find comfort, and there I am. Under his wings. Under his wings, who from his wings ever. Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide. Amen.
Under his wings, oh what a precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can sever. Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful hymns. Are there any other hymns, dear ones? Any other songs? Anything else that you'd like to share?
I like to sing a hymn that I haven't sung for some time. It is called Did Christ O'er Sinners Weep. Did Christ over sinners weep, and shall our cheeks be dry? Let thought of penitential grief burst forth from every eye. Behold the Son of God in tears, angels with wonder see. Hast thou no wonder, O my soul, he shed those tears for thee. He wept that we might weep over sin and shame. He wept to show his love for us and bid us love the same. The Son of God in tears, angels with wonder see. Has thou no wonder, O my soul, he shed those tears for thee? Then tender be our hearts, our eyes in sorrow dim, till every tear from every eye be wiped away by him. Thus did Christ o'er sinners weep, and shall our cheeks be dry? Let floods of penitential grief spring forth from every eye. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Josh. And here's a song for my dear brother Santiago. And we want you to sing it, dear brother. At least a verse of it. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain torrent far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands and it will forever when the war has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my
feet on its foundation,
for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands every test we can pay for the there is evil. By grace alone,
I
am my love stands through the years. A time will come for you will find.
Thank you very much.
May come bow. I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen. God's word remains forever. Though the hills, though the world is set aside, it remains. It will not return back to God void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was given. And praise God indeed for his merciful kindness in giving us this word of life. So, amen. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
Sabbath blessings, dear ones. As usually, we want to sing a hymn.
Al Cristo ve de Dios el Hijo eterno, ven al Señor, el grande Creador. Todo abandona por vivir cual siervo del mal rodeado y presa del dolor. Por ti todo esto hizo Jesús. ¿Cómo respondes a su divino amor? En oración tu alma hoy derrama ante su trono por el pecado. Lleva la luz de su palabra santa a los que ignoran el divino amor. Por ti todo esto hizo Jesús. ¿Cómo respondes a su divino amor? Consagra fiel tus bienes mayordomo, que del Señor manejas el caudal para que puedan por el mundo todo salvarse almas del poder de por ti todo eso. Hizo Jesús, ¿cómo respondes a su divino amor?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that wonderful hymn. And we look forward to you singing a new hymn each Sabbath. So please continue to do so, dear one. And dear brother Jorge, how is the recovery going? You look very well.
Oh, gracias. Gracias a Dios.
Mucho mejor. Ayer me quitaron ya los puntos.
Thanks, our Heavenly Father. His recovering is going well. Yesterday, it was retired his suture. And now he's here at home recovering in a good way.
Muchas gracias por todas sus oraciones. Y estoy feliz. Estos dos últimos sábados he aprendido mucho y esta reunión me ha servido también para recuperar mi salud, estoy seguro.
Thank you very much for your prayers. I am very happy and glad to see you last Sabbath and this one as well. I have learned in such a way that I have even refreshed my knowledge about different themes. For example, this is those are his words. Now I'm going to say something, my opinion. Last Sabbath we were looking for the information in the Sire pages about the Jewish feast festivals. And the way that was studied, it was new for us. Because indeed we knew that we never had to keep those festivals. But we ignored that all of those festivals were pointed out Jesus, or ignored out. We were not attentive of that. So after Christ's death, those festivals were set apart. Well, we understood that, but the main reason it was a little bit confused. So we were discussing about that, and we were very amazing about that, because around all the world there are a lot of people that they want to keep those festivals, and there are also among the Adventists of the Seventh Day a new movement that they want to learn Hebrew. They want to wear like the use, and they want to keep their customs. So it was a very new point for us in order to give some arguments against those false beliefs. So for us it was a new learning about that, because we are very impressive about that those doctrines are spread in our the world. Mostly here in Colombia, there are a lot of people who believe that we have to live like Jewish people. And they ignore that this people was set apart. So in that way, we have grown a lot spiritually.
Aunque mi trabajo sábado tras sábado es guerrear contra las tinieblas y los prejuicios.
Although my work every Sabbath is fight against the darkness and prejudice,
siempre es muy regocijante escuchar las noticias agradables de las personas que escuchan y entienden el mensaje.
Always it is a joy to hear about the news and all that other people have studied and learned in the gospel or from the gospel, and that is I have got some things that I would share in the TV program in the coming days.
Pero estos dos últimos sábados para mí han sido revitalizantes, porque verdaderamente, como dice el Señor, qué delicia y cuán agradable es estar reunidos los hermanos juntos en eso que verdaderamente es el sábado, el templo del tiempo, en el tiempo.
So, the last two Sabbaths have been like an energizer, because it's good to know that there are other people that is gathering, or that are gathering in this temple made of time. Where else?
Estar en el templo, y que para mí es una delicia. Para mí ha sido una delicia.
Es un
verdadero tiempo, como el Señor está, salgan a un lado, como les digo, vamos a aparte. Dijo a los discípulos que siento como si Jesús me hubiera usado esta ocasión para llevarme a un ladito, pues, como le dice él, ¿cómo es que le dice? Vengan y estemos aparte. Así que cuando Jesús le dice a los apóstoles, los llevó aparte.
Okay. He feels like when Christ said to the disciples that he said to them, come here, we need to talk apart of the other people, like in a private place. So for that reason, for him, this has been an energizer. And he is very happy of being in fellowship with you and gathering with you as well.
Yo estoy sintiendo que estoy recargando mi batería espiritual.
He's feeling that he is charging his spiritual battery.
Y yo espero.
And I hope
verlos,
to see you
el próximo sábado,
next Sabbath,
y regocijarme,
and be in fellowship
de todo este carnaval del amor,
with this
de todo este holy
all of this holy love that is being spreading this
holiday
meeting.
De todo este canal del amor que se disfruta con todos los hermanos en su sábado, en el sábado del Señor. Que se disfruta con todos los hermanos en el sábado del Señor. ¿Ah?
Que podemos disfrutar juntos.
Que podemos disfrutar juntos, y me siento muy agradecido con el Señor y con todos los hermanos, hermano Robert Sessler y con todos los demás. El hermano Robert Sessler por dirigirnos temas tan profundos y ponernos a pensar y reconfortarnos en nuestro espíritu en el Señor. Muchas gracias, hermanos, por todo y por tanto. Como dice Dick.
Well, finally he said that he's very grateful to brother Elder Bob because he has led great sermons last Sabbath and this one as well, very deep. And also, those are going to be words of mine. The last sermon last week, we kept the link because my father thought he could present that sermon in the TV program. That it was that the ways in which all sin could be successfully defeated. So in Cummings TV program, he's gonna present that sermon. So, thank you very much again for your prayers. We hope that next Sabbath, my father is gonna be with us as well. His recovery is going well. Greetings for all the brethren and their families. Thank you very much.
Oh, praise the Lord. And feel free, dear brother, any materials that we have, any of the talks that we've given, feel free to use in spreading far and wide that many more precious souls can be won to the Lord in quick fashion. So praise God for opening our eyes to understanding the truth, and all the glory goes to Him. But your recovery now is still another 3 weeks away, so we get you here with us for 3 more weeks. Don't try to get out of that. So we're looking forward to having you with us for another 3 weeks. Yeah, 4 more weeks. That's right. I don't want to sell it short. 4 more weeks. So praise God that you're with us, and we're continuing to keep your wonderful outreach to our dear Spanish-speaking people in our prayers. And may many more precious souls be won to God through your efforts, dear brother. Are there any other songs or comments, any other thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
This is another example of what I was trying to share earlier. It was a situation with his hernia, but his hernia became a blessing for us, because this has been a prayer that we all had when it was that our dear brother Garay would be able to be with us to have worship. And even though it was a misfortune, because he had to be able to go under the knife, but now he's with us, because otherwise he would have been still doing the program. So praise the Lord that the Lord really blessed us that we can all have worship.
Yay!
Under these circumstances, still praise the Lord. Hermano Garay, yo sé que es la cirugía que se hizo con la hernia es una cosa muy delicada, pero salió como una bendición para nosotros, porque esa es la única manera que lo hubiera tenido aquí con todos nosotros. So, eso fue una oración que se había dado por muchos años, y mira cómo el Señor nos concede esa oración. Qué bueno, pero que el Señor te alivie todas las heridas, pero gracias al Señor que estás con nosotros. Amén.
Amén.
Gracias, hermana Rose y hermano Rodolfo, hermana Silicia y todos los demás hermanos que entienden un poco el español. Y Vicky, hermano Vicky, también entiende en español. Entonces, gracias por sus oraciones, gracias por todo. Y sí, y como dice el Señor, hay bendiciones disfrazadas de tragedia, de aparente angustia, pero estoy disfrutándolo mucho, olvidándome de todas las demás cosas, disfrutándolo mucho con los hermanos. Gracias, hermana Rose, por todo.
Elder Rod, do you have the hymn, Wonderful, Merciful Savior? Okay. If any one of the dear brethren would like to share on this appropriate hymn for all the blessing that the Lord has bestowed upon us, you can unmute your mic as well. Wonderful, Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a man could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always
on the whole. Oh, hearts always hung the fool.
Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find falling before your throne. Oh, we falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for.
Thank you, Sister Mariela and Dad.
I have one more request for him. Hold fast till I come. Sweet promises given to all who believe. Behold, I come quickly, mine own to receive. Hold fast till I come. The danger is great. Sleep not as do others. Be watchful and wait. Hold fast till I come. Sweet promise of heaven. The kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne. Bright crowns are in waiting, hold fast till I come.
We'll watch unto prayer with lamps burning bright. He comes to all others, a thief in the night. We know he is near, but know not the day, as spring shows that summer is not far away. Hold fast till I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restore, to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting, hold fast till I come.
Is our hope, the veil's on his word, the glorious appearing of Jesus our Lord. A promise is all, it's done as the sun. Behold, I come quickly, oh, fast till I come.
Okay, Mariela.
Oh, faster I come, sweet promise of heaven, the kingdom restored to you shall be given. Come enter my joy, sit down on the throne, bright crowns are in waiting. Oh, fast till I come.
Amen. Excellent request. And I hear my dear sister Mariella there. So we know which song we're going to choose next. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
So Mariela is kind of shy, so she wants to do the duet.
I stay in the garden with him through the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his home. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known.
Thank you.
Amen. And what a personal one-on-one relationship Christ offers to each one of us. And no one else can enter into that relationship. It's between us and Christ, yoked together. Are there any other requests, anything else that you'd like to share with us, dear ones, before we close today's service? And please go right ahead. And love you too, dear sister. Thank you so much for your prayers. We're keeping you in our prayers as well. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again very soon. So any other thoughts, dear ones? Please go right ahead. May God bless. Keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking forward to our next time where we fellowship together. And don't forget about the women's meeting this coming Monday. And we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday as well, on Friday evening, and then again on next Sabbath. So until then, dear ones, keep looking up.